and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and I'm joined by Katie Balls and James Forsyth. And for particularly eagle-eared listeners of this podcast, you might hear lots of traffic around us. That's because we are travelling from one news event to another in the back of a taxi. So please bear with us if you hear any horns or swearing or anything like that. So we've just had the result from the latest ballot in the Tory leadership contest. Rory Stewart was knocked out. He got 27 votes. Sajid Javid got 38 votes. Michael Gove got 51 votes, Jeremy Hunt got 54 votes, and Boris Johnson got 143 votes. So, James, what does this mean?
Well, Rory Stewart is out, and I think it's quite clear that it's his debate performance last night that cost him. During the day today, there was lots of speculation about skullduggery, tactical voting by Brexiteers or backers of Boris Johnson to eliminate him. In truth, what's clearly happened is Rory Stewart has gone backwards. He has lost 10 votes. And I think that the explanation for this is quite simple. I think a lot of people voted for him yesterday to put him into that debate because they wanted to see him take on Boris Johnson. These were people who wanted to see him have a go at Boris Johnson. He turned up at that debate and decided to have a go not just at Boris Johnson, but at all the candidates. And again, I think there were lots of people who wanted him in that debate for his views on Brexit, but he decided again to have a go at all the other candidates, not just on Brexit, but on domestic policy, where he accused them of kind of living in a world of alternative reality. And then I think the other thing that affected people was his performance was slightly odd from the moment that he decided to take off his tie in the second question of the debate, and to the fact that he didn't bother to try and conceal his emotions and sometimes his disdain when other people were talking. I thought Rory Stewart was in a bit of trouble last night when an MP of precisely the kind of support he was going to need today to stay in the contest called me very cross about the extent to which Rory Stewart had gone after, not just gone after Boris Johnson, but had gone after all the other candidates. And I think that is clearly what has cost him dearly.
Katie, where do you think his votes are going to go?
Well, you look at Rory Stewart's votes and what he has left. What was interesting was when the Tory leadership contest started, there was a report, a Tory source unnamed, suggesting that Rory Stewart was going to act as a suicide bomber for Michael Gove. The idea being that Rory Stewart would take votes from other candidates and then eventually fold in behind Michael Gove. Now, clearly that hasn't happened. A, it was denied at the time. Two, there were reports today that Rory Stewart might hold talks with Michael Gove about potentially folding in, but the idea was that Rory Stewart would be at the front, not Michael Gove. And strangely, Michael Gove didn't take him up on his offer. I think when it comes to those votes, there are some of Rory Stewart's supporters who I think would have more in common politically with Jeremy Hunt. It's everything to play for when it comes to how you attract those votes. And I think what's interesting is, I think there are some voters who should assume that they were naturally coming to Rory Stewart when Matt Hancock dropped out, and James touched on some of those points, but I was really struck earlier speaking to an MP who was what you would call, one of those voters left over after their candidate fell out, and they were explaining why even though they agreed with Rory Stewart's politics, they weren't able to back him because he makes Boris Johnson look humble. That was their words. So I think for some, actually, there was this like personality issue with Rory Stewart. So it would be interesting to see. I mean, some of those votes have already gone to other places now. But when it comes to Rory Stewart supporters, I think they are a mixed bunch.
So his race for second place is very close. There's three votes in it between Jeremy Hunt and Michael Gove. I think, as Katie says, some of Rory Stewart's support is probably ideologically closer to Jeremy Hunt. But if you're a lot of people backing Rory Stewart's primary concern is to see Boris Johnson, if you want to be polite about it, fully tested. If you want to be unpolite about it, taken down a peg or two. Michael Gove is a more obvious choice if that is your consideration. I think what might end up determining the race for second place is how does that Sajid Javid vote break down, that 38 vote? Because there are quite a lot of people in there who are kind of natural Tory establishment types, Victoria Atkins, John Glenn. You would see them as more natural Jeremy Hunt, Michael Gove supporters. So what I think we might see tomorrow is Michael Gove going into second place in the first round and then a titanic struggle by him to stay in that position going into the final round. I think one other thing to watch for, I think the Boris Johnson camp will be very keen to get at least 14 more votes yesterday. They're on 143 votes, 157 votes. You know, you only need 105 votes to be sure of your place in the final two. But from a psychological and legitimacy point of view, I think Boris Johnson will want to hit 157, because that means that he has a majority, an absolute majority of a Conservative parliamentary party behind him. And I think that some of those around him think that that will be a useful factor when trying to exert discipline over the parliamentary party, which is going to be difficult for Boris Johnson, given the strengths of feelings on both him, frankly, and Brexit as party leader.
So tomorrow is going to be absolutely frantic, isn't it, Katie?
Yes, it's going to be, I think it's going to be a several coffee house shots day.
So multiple, hopefully not on the move again.
Yeah, maybe not in this charming car. Yeah,
we could just ride around Parliament Square.
And I think what's interesting is, Rory Stewart, if you look at what he did in this campaign, and I think you do have to pay credit for how he has completely turned this contest on its head, for at least a portion of it. He seemed to really throw off kilter a lot of these cabinet candidates' campaigns. And now we're at a point where we are going back to probably the contest that lots of people first imagined when this was announced. And these are now, if you look at the final four, it is the cabinet heavyweight, so to speak, who are now all fighting for that place. And clearly there's only 24 hours for them to make that case, but it will be interesting, because I do sense that one of the problems Jeremy Hunt's campaign has had when they were trying to pick up supporters, people like Margot James, people like David Lidington, was not that these people were drawn to Michael Gove, it's that they thought Rory Stewart had a lot of energy and was being truer to perhaps their causes on things like pragmatism, on actually defending the Brexit deal, than Jeremy Hunt was. So I think there's a big opportunity for Jeremy Hunt there, and also for Michael Gove, but in a sense they can now in a way make the messages they've been trying to make for the past week without having a much more enthusiastic park walking phone camera filming candidate to go up against.
I think one of the big questions for the Tory party is, how do you put the party back together after this contest? And Rory Stewart poses a problem for that, because there is no doubt that Rory Stewart has emerged as the tribune of a particular wing of the Tory party. And, you know, he has the support of 27 MPs, that's not nothing. And I think there is definitely a section of the Tory Remain vote who see him as their great hope. Yet, Rory Stewart has said he couldn't serve in a Boris Johnson cabinet. Today he seemed to expand that to say he said he couldn't seem to serve in anybody else's cabinet because of their positions on Brexit. But I think a knitting back of the party is going to have to find a way to use Rory Stewart. And that is going to be a challenge, because voters do not like divided parties. And the Tory party will, I mean, Rory Stewart is now enough in the politically aware consciousness, but if he is sitting on the back benches as a kind of king over the water, that will have an impact. And I think it will also, he will provide a natural focal point for any rebellion again, you know, any rebellion in favour of allowing any kind of no deal Brexit, or, and this I think is another risk here, or even a flirtation with a no deal Brexit. You know, if you take the view, which I think is largely accurate, that Boris Johnson's main interest in no deal is to use it as leverage, you know, you can see Rory Stewart, come the autumn, being one of the people who leads a charge against that, who tries to get to force for government through law to seek another extension. So I think working out how to handle Rory Stewart is going to be one of the challenges for whoever, for Boris Johnson if he wins, or whoever becomes the next Tory leader.
Sent him on a walking tour of the UK to keep him busy, perhaps. Now, Katie, we didn't do a podcast after Prime Minister's questions today because it has stopped being the main event, even though Theresa May still has several weeks of, well, droning away about her legacy before the new Prime Minister takes over. But one of the things that I noticed when I was in the chamber today was that the Tory leadership contest is having a damage on the Conservative brand in Parliament as well, because some of the comments that some of the candidates have made are very opportune for opposition MPs. So Paul Williams, who's a Labour MP, highlighted Sajid Javid's promise to return police numbers to what they were before Theresa May's cuts to the police. So is the contest going to become more damaging, do you think, for the party? Or do you think the Rory Stewart leaving the contest is going to make everything lovely and Labour are not going to have any attacks at all?
Well, I think Labour, as you say, have plenty of material right now, thanks to several debates. And Boris Johnson was criticised broadly for skewing or at least not committing to enough things. But I think he did have a point, whether or not that was the motivating reason for him being cautious about doing debates. He did have a point when he pointed out that you could have blue-on-blue warfare that could be weaponised by Labour in a general election campaign. I think there's a good chance of that. I think one of the reasons that Rory Stewart found himself knocked out is that there is a sense that in that BBC debate, you transfer that to a rolling tour of the country in various hustings, it could be a damaging process. Now, it could be that MPs still want to have that fight and send a slightly diluted version in the form of Michael Gove, or it could work in Jeremy Hunt's favour. But I think there is a sense of blue and blue warfare. But I would also say the Conservative Party over the past 2 years has provided plenty of material in its own way if the opposition want to attack. And what's going to be more important is when you get this new government, can you bring all these policy ideas into the tent? Because if you take, for example, Sajid Javid's police numbers pledge, if you have a government, a new Tory government, which wants to increase police numbers, you have immediately, in a way, neutralised that criticism. I mean, it doesn't seem to hurt Labour that much in the chamber every week, and I think the difference is greater here when people list what New Labour did and Jeremy Corbyn disowns it. I think you can have that separation, but I think the problem would be if there's lots of things which still haven't changed or are contradicted when you have the new government.
I think perhaps, I mean, talk about Rory Stewart and the blue and blue action, but I think perhaps what Sajid Javid said this morning, as Katie said, on police numbers, and more remarkably, what Jeremy Hunt said last night about cuts to social care having gone too far. If I was the person working on Labour's election posters, these are the lines that I'd be really interested in, because you put them on a poster and you basically say to people, even the Tories recognise that their cuts and their austerity have gone too far. Now, I think it's pretty much a given that whoever the new Tory leader is will do a big budget that really will be the end of austerity. But you now look at the number of commitments that are racking up. Boris Johnson, a minimum level of per pupil funding of £5,000. Jeremy Hunt, the cuts to social care have gone too far. Sajid Javid, unravel all of the police cuts that happened in the Cameron Osborne era when Theresa May was at the Home Office. You know, this is getting properly, you know, when you start talking about billions and billions and billions and billions, you're soon into serious money, even in government terms.
Thank you, James, and thank you, Katie, and thank you to our listeners for bearing with our moving coffeehouse shots. We'll have many more podcasts from all sorts of exciting locations tomorrow. Thanks for listening.